Hazal is better. The general rule, as we mentioned, is if the blia, if the absorption enters the kli through fire, then it needs fire to get it out. Which in all practical purposes means don't do it at home. There's all how to go up to. But if it's just a spoon in a pot, for example, it became absorbed with something, then that's a different story. That can be done in a kettle. So for example, in a classic story, when you have a spoon, oh no, I serve it with the wrong pot. I serve it with in the meaty pot, in the milky pot, and the rest of it needs kashrut. But that's not ish. That's mine. I serve it in food. It's not a spit. A spit that you barbecue your chicken on, that alivei oil. It's a mine. That's a different story. So then, the instructions are very, very simple. The number one rule of Hagola, as I mentioned early on in the week, one has to make sure 24 hours have gone past since it was initially used. That's number one. Number two, if you're kashering, for example, in a kli, the water must be boiling hot at the time you do Hagola. Boiling, literally bubbling. There are two ways of doing this. Either you can take a pot, fill it with water, and boil it avoish. If you are going to do that, it, by the way, does not matter whether it's a meaty or milky pot. It does not matter. Because your kli is ain't a benyeme, can't ask anything, it's absolutely fine. The other way of doing it is with a kettle. Take a kettle, put the lever down, and whilst it's bubbling, you open the lid and you drop in whatever you need to drop in. There is a little bit of a discussion, how long must it be sitting in the water for it to be kashered? And the real answer is Me'ikka Hadin. A second. Mishabura does say, tell her you to keep it in a couple of seconds.
But the metal will cool it off momentarily.
So he says, because if you have cold metal, then, as we know from our scary science days back in school, that there is a temperature gradient, the hot water is being cooled down by the cold kli. And therefore it might not be bubbling to that second. If you keep it in for a few seconds, it's fine. Now, another very, very important halacha which is not known, or at least not well enough known. Unlike tvila, hagala can be done in stages. If somebody has a tovel in the mikveh, a man or a woman, you cannot go into the mikveh until your waist, and then going again from your waist upwards. There's no such thing. You have to do your entire guf submerged in the water at one stage. If a woman goes to the mikvah and has one single solitary hair which is sticking out of the water, the whole tefillah is a waste of time. She has to go back and tovel. Hagola, however, is not like that. Hagola you can do in stages, which is very, very, very important halacha. Why is this a very important halacha? Because imagine you have a knife. Your challah knife, your whatever knife, your spoon, your pot, whatever it is you want to kasher, and it doesn't fit inside your kettle. It's too long. No problem. You put it in, make sure it bubbles, then carefully take it out, turn it around, now the bottom of it will be submerged, and that's fine. Very, very, very important principle.
If you have to put a kasher a whole spoon, for example, most spoons, really,
we pass on that you do. That means, if, it's a good question, if a spoon you once stirred in your challah, you say, oh, well, this is my milky spoon. Now, the entire spoon was not submerged in your challah, but it needs to be kashered entirely. But again, it doesn't need to be done in one stage, it can be done in two stages. It goes without saying, but the posting pointed out, one has to be very careful health-wise, with boiling hot water, especially kettle, one has to be very, very careful. Just as an eitzah tova, if anybody's looking for eitzahs, this is what I personally do before Pesach, we have okay, sock, laundry bag. Basically a netting.
Mesh.
A mesh. That's the easiest way of doing Hagala. Because the other way that one in theory could do it, that's not an advised way. Halachically it's very problematic. Imagine if you would take a pair of pliers, right, and you're holding your kli like that. So you put it in. Now, at the point of contact between the pliers and the kli, the water is not touching. If that's not the best way of doing Hagola. No, but if it's a mesh, it's a beggar, it's flapping around.
Oh,
unless you do it in stages. Unless you do it in stages. If you're doing it in stages, you're doing it like this, half in, and then you flip it around, you do it like that, then that's fine. But the far easier way of doing this is what I do. For example, when I kasher kosos. Now, here is an important halacha. It's a very big tradition. It's difficult to understand. But this is the meaning of the Ashkenazim. If you use your kosos on Seder night, the ones that you use all year round, they should be kasher. Now, if somebody has a specific Pesach Seder night kosos, then obviously they don't need to be kasher. But if you're using on Seder night the kosos that you use every Friday night, they should be kasher. And when you think about that, it's a very difficult halacha to understand. What's absorbed in them? Number one, I don't put chametz in my kiddush cup. And number two, isn't the rule always that chametz can only be absorbed if it had got absorbed hot? Who ever put hot chametz in the kiddush
cup?
There are all types of chashashas, and on Pesach, as we know, we have, especially the Ashkenazim, have very, very far-reaching chumras with concerns. First, even if it's used for cold, and sometimes it could splash, etc., etc. All it needs is Haggadah, it doesn't need Libun Chomel. The easiest way to do it, and this is what I do it, is, but by the way, one shouldn't make a mistake. If you have five kosos, don't pile them up one inside another and then throw them in the water. Obviously, one has to do one by one. Or five separately. So this is what I do at home. I take my sock bag, my laundry mesh bag, you put the kosos in it, you lower it in, keep it in for 3 or 4 seconds, take it out, Bob's your uncle. Halacha is, the place can say, once you've finished the Haggadah, you should rinse the kli that you just kashered with cold water. And that's it. Simple as that. Takes 5 seconds, the whole process.
Rather than if you want to use your Seder night, you mean
any time? Any time on Pesach, yeah. Any time on Pesach. Any time on Pesach.
Just make sure the water goes inside the cup.
Right. Now, there is a discussion. There is a bit of a discussion. And that is, do you have to actually insist that the water goes inside of the crate and also outside of the crate? Or only on one side? Best to avoid, we kasher it on all sides to avoid it. Now, somebody last year asked me a shayla, which in theory is a good shayla, but in practice, it's absolutely fine. A lot of crates have lots of ridges. Now, when you're talking about a kli that absolutely needs Haggadah, the Mishnah Brura says a very important halacha, and you'll notice that whenever there is a communal kashering, they are always makbid to keep this halacha, and so they should. The Mishnah Brura says mafurish, you have to have a boki, somebody who knows Hilchos Haggadah present at a Haggadah table. One of the things that that boki is looking for is, if somebody comes with a kli that has lots of nooks and crannies and gums can get stuck in it, that can't be kashered. Because the water will not get in there and will not be able to drag it out. Except for libun. The libun is not always possible because it could ruin your whole kli. Now, when it comes to the case of a kos, for example, we have a kos at home where it has, for example, sort of engraved on the outside, like a whole picture of grapes. There's definitely nooks and crannies in there. Even if you take a toothpick, it's so little you couldn't even get in there. It's not a problem. If you're dealing with a kli that absolutely needed Haggadah me'ika hadin, that would be a different story. If someone doesn't need Haggadah me'ika hadin, we're not trying to explain why he needs Haggadah at all. We're having a hard time explaining why he needs Haggadah at all. So as long as it's clean, you clean it, you're eating it crazy, you clean it, you kasher it, absolutely no problem. There is a discussion, but I don't really want to get involved because it's not really necessary to get involved in the shayla. Me'ikar adin, this is where the Rama says, you cannot do Haggadah on Pesach. You cannot do Haggadah on Pesach. A kli, that's no problem. A kli that has absorption of chametz doesn't need me'ikar adin to be sold. There's no bali roe on bleir. If you suddenly discover a kli which is chametz, you kasher it on Pesach, you cannot kasher it on Pesach. I don't want to get involved in it. Why would you need to run into the shayla? Glass kelim, there is an enormous machlokes for shayla. Can they be kashered? There are, in fact, three opinions. Opinion number one is they don't need kashering. Why don't they need kashering? Because the material is so smooth it cannot be boileya anything. Opinion number two is no. It can be boileya, but you can kasher it. Opinion number three is the worst of both worlds. It can be boileya, but it won't get out. It's like earthenware clay. The Shulchan Aruch, and this is where the Faraday and Paskin, glass come from. If a Faraday has a glass clay which he uses all year round for Hachamot, you can use it on Yom Tov, no problem at all. Just have to wash it off. An Ashkenazi cannot use that tea on Pesach, it cannot be kosher. I think I mentioned this about somebody called up my uncle, the Yom Tov Zanga, the Erev Pesach from Netanya. He says, Rabbi, I have a glass decanter which I use for whiskey all year round. Don't worry, Rabbi, I've emptied the whiskey and I want to use it to stay the night, put my wine into Dallas Kreis. Is that okay? The real answer to that question is, it depends. If you're an Ashkenazi, you're a Sephardi. If you're a Sephardi, you have no problem, as long as it's clean. If you're an Ashkenazi, it is a problem. So my uncle said to him, are you Ashkenazi or are you Sephardi? He said, Rabbi, whatever's mutter, that's what I am.
It's really not a problem in which you for more than 24 hours.
Yeah, they're not Sephardi. Can't be brilliant. That's the only way it can be brilliant. The only way a glass can be brilliant is because it's sitting there for 24 hours. The Kuntus Sephardi glass can't be brilliant. There is a discussion about porcelain. If anybody has porcelain kelim, we do not kasher those either. Shavuot said that we do not klisher. There are many kelim, even if we don't have real porcelain, very few people have real porcelain, but a lot of types of materials like archipel, corel, these types of dishes cannot be kasher to paper. And they're all glazed, and they definitely have glass elements, and they cannot be kasher. If somebody wants to use their hot plate, a hot plate, a platter that they use all year round, in theory, one does not need to get a separate Pesach hot plate. I personally do not own a separate Pesach hot plate. I use my hot plate from all year round. Now, what needs to be done? Very, very simple. Number one, obviously, needs to be cleaned thoroughly. Best thing is to clean it with some cleaning agent, a detergent. As I was showing it on an almond the other day. He has a terrific sense of humour. Somebody asked him, Economica. You know what Economica is?
Bleach.
Drink that stuff, you won't have another Pesach. So he said, does Economica need a Hechsher for Pesach? No, it does not. So the guy said, oh, but I saw in a Pesach that you need the Hechsher for Pesach. So the Zalman answered without flinch. He said, yeah, that's talking about if you don't eat it. Guy just fell about laughing. Too much, you want to eat it.
Really?
You want to eat it, yeah, it needs the hash. Best is therefore to clean it thoroughly. Why do you need to clean it the chlala? Now, when you think about it, actually, in theory, you don't need to cash on a hot plate at all. You don't put food on the hot plate, you only put a pot on the hot plate. But the answer is the same as well. I think it's definitely due to that, as you all know. So, number one, you clean it well with a cleaning agent. Number two, turn it on high, not for long, but it's on top temperature for half an hour or so, and then cover it with foil. And by the way, some stations boil hot water in that. I don't really understand why it's necessary to pour boiling hot water in it when you've already turned it on high.
It's just that,
it's true, but if you put it on high, that's the higher
issue. You might have water in
the that's the little cow. Now, if you are covering it with foil, it's recommendable not to use the standard thin tin foil, because it tears so easily.
Yeah.
Rather use a thick foil. I would tell you from painful experience, if you cut when you cut that thick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you do it with gloves or something, you can very easily cut your fingers. That's with regard to a...
You can actually get, like, in between, not that thick, but thicker than
thicker.
Thick. It's okay. Called macro, and it'll be down the towards the plate on the right hand side.
Okay. Me'ika again. Now, I discussed this at great length with my Rebbe week of Shem Zalman and Ulman, and he was absolutely emphatic about it. Me'ika hadin, one does not need a Pesach oven. Me'ika hadin. When you cook in your oven all year round, that's not called Blia Alidei Eish. And I say to me, what do you mean? Because Eish in the oven, what are you talking about? That is Eish. The answer is that the food doesn't touch the oven wall. It might steam in there. That's not called Eish. That's there. That's racist. The tray certainly should be changed. But the Ikar Adin, the Chatchila, it's best obviously to get a Pesach Avon. If one cannot get a Pesach Avon, then the Ikar Adin, it can indeed be kashered. The tray should be changed.
If you're paralytic, you think the whole thing is...
Oh, one second. Now, if it's a pyrolytic oven, which can reach temperatures of 700 or 800 degrees Fahrenheit, then l'chol aver that does reach the temperature which would be considered a little common. Afal pk, there are those who say that l'chol aver is not the right. But one cannot say that that is me'ikra din. Me'ikra din is absolutely no problem, and one can use the oven that you use all year round for Pesach as well. Of course, most people nowadays, it's very easy. Nowadays, a Pesach oven can cost you 200 or 300 shekels. It's really not a big deal. But al kaponim, if you cannot, you can afford it, or it's just a balagad, or you don't have room, or you forgot, an ikra din, an oven can be kashered.
So, In theory, that's not in practice.
A microwave, also, there is room in theory to discuss it could be kashered, lechatchila, have a Pesach microwave, you can get a microwave for 150 shekels, it's really not a big deal. The table, there was a discussion with Shulchan Aruch, me'ikra din, it's fine. If you cover the table top, that suffices. One doesn't need to pour water all over the table and then also cover it. One covers it well, that is fine. Some people will also cover the legs of the table because you're worried if you're in the cuisine, maybe you'll touch the legs with bread in your hand. Not me'ikra din a chumrah, but that can be done. With regard to the sink, very, very important. First, I should just mention with regard to the shayish. Now, shayish, the marble surfaces are extremely complicated for two reasons. Halachically and practically. Halachically, there is some shayish that cannot be kashered. There is a halacha of klicheret that cannot be kashered, it's a waste of time. Practically, with some shayish, if you do try to kasher, it can crack. Me'ikra din is absolutely no necessity to kasher the shayish. Me'ikra din, if it covers well, either with thick foil or with plastic or wood or PVC service, that's 100% fine. One should, however, and I can tell you this from painful experience, it's got to be covered well. Because if it's not covered well, we once did discover this, we were very upset about it, after they started to pick out all the services, and there was a wet layer underneath the cover, which means somewhere water was getting in. And that creates problems. Even if it's cold in theory. There's water sitting there for 24 hours in Kovosh. Final halacha, or final two halachas with regard to sinks. Sinks should be kashered. Because sinks one really does put food in there, unlike the shayish. But again, it's very simple. You take a water kettle. The sink should not be used for hot chametz for 24 hours prior to kashering it. You take a kettle. While it's boiling, you pour over all the various surfaces. Number one, you have to be careful. Number two, because you want to pour over all the surfaces, it might well take you two or three goes. With one average size kettle, you probably can't do the whole thing.
The difficulty with this as follows. I know that you have to have the surface that you're catching has to be dry, because otherwise the water will take away the heat of it, right? So it means that if you're catching, let's say you dry up your sink, right? If you're catching, you want to layer. So now the water is moving there, so you have to stop. And if you dry it again, is that right?
Could be right.
Are you supposed to test the top and down?
Yeah, no, the bottom first. For months,
how do you decide?
You have to be careful. You have to pour over.
You pour it.
There is another way with an Evan Hamel Rubemet. It's not necessary. Take a kettle, hot kettle. It might well take two or three shots. One should also be mastered to kasher the tax and the underside of the tax if you can. And then after you've done all of that, the process, the sink should be covered. The best is to get a sink insert. And the best is, not Ikra Din, I was discussing this with my uncle this week, the best is if you can get an insert which is slightly smaller than the size of the sink. Otherwise it's got to be flat, it's smaller, it won't go in. It shouldn't be resting on the sink floor. If it does rest on the sink floor, it's not the end of the world. If it's slightly raised from the sink floor, what's the mile of that? But if water gets trapped underneath, the water is never touching simultaneously the floor of the sink, and also the floor of your insert.
The
center of the gap.
The center of the gap is the sink.
Yes, it's all a common.
Cool.
Even if you cash the sink.
And sorry, go back to the side of the sink. Do you do it because when you pour it like this, so the water goes down, by the time you get to the bottom part, it's not the same heat as the water.
That's why I said you cannot do it in one go. You pull over the side, that'll be that's good for that side. Pull over the second side, that's good for that side. I personally do it in about 3 or 4 shots each sink. Yeah, so you have to make sure that every area of the sink is covered, and then it's going to be sink insert, and then the sink, the actual faucet and the tap should be covered either with foil or with plastic clean film, we used to call it.
What does that mean? What's
the tap? Tap should be covered.
You take the tap and you cushion
the taps. Even after the cushion, it should still be covered. It should be covered either with foil or with cling film for the simple reason, because of worry. Maybe the water didn't actually touch every single last area that you cushion. Final halacha, there is difficult to say it's me'ikra din, but some people do have this meaning, and it's brought down in various sorim that women's rings should be cushioned. Now, it's not me'ikra din. If a woman, now you have to ask your wife, if a woman in particular, when she needs the challah, she does not take off her rings, then there's certainly more room to be machmer din, because then a piece of dough can have to get caught in. Even then, me'ikra din, it suffices just to clean it thoroughly. You have to know also that to make sure the ring won't get ruined in hot water. Pashas, it shouldn't be ruined in hot water. If she's always makbid to take off her rings when she needs her challah for Shabbos and the ikra din, clean it thoroughly, it does not need to be kashrut.
What about the gas stove?
The gas stove also, the ikra din, we have to discuss the different parts of the gas stove. There's the actual burners, and then there's the gas top. There's also the whole gas range. Me'ikra din, it can all be kashrut. The gas burners, or the gas,
the grates
should still be lechachila covered in foil. The way to do it is very, very simple. Some suggest that nowadays it's not the case anymore, that because there's aish there the whole time, it's always got automatic kashrut. It's always automatic kashrut. That's not the case in our stoves, because we have quite wide grates, and if even you have a fire in the middle, it doesn't necessarily heat up every part of the grate. Therefore, if one is doing it, one should do libun, and one has to do libun kal. Why do you only have to do libun kal, which means basically kashering it? Because as we said, you don't put food on the grate. You only put the pot on the grate. So much so that the Mishabura has a difficult time explaining why you have to kasher your grates at all. You don't put food on the grate. So he says it's because sometimes things spill. If things spill, even then it's a bit of a chumrah, because if things spill, they get burnt up anyway. Fine, so one kashers it, not water, but has to make sure it's clean. Because on occasion, very often it's impossible to clean thoroughly, that's why they should still be covered. They should still be covered. It was very difficult to say therefore where it does and where it doesn't.
Can you put them in the
sink
before
boiling water? No, that's not living with that, that's just eerie. That's only eerie. They've got to be submerged in water. Boiling water.
Is that
a libun kala? Yeah, that is hagola. Libun kala is the same diagram as hagola. Best is to change the grease. Not necessarily advisable, but again, if you're going to cover them with foil, then certainly you're on easier ground. Ikra din than to be kasher.
What about
just putting your black water on the stove? If you're putting a black over the stove, yeah, such that the pot, yeah, nonetheless, the grate should still be cleaned.
Yeah, you clean it all, and just put a black on.
Which black? A Pesach black.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ikra din, that's fine. If it's never coming into contact at all with the all year round grate.
Those things in the middle of
the burners, yeah.
You just clean them, right?
Those just need to be cleaned, yeah. Because that's definitely the Asian
shade. You can't, they need to colour it.
Right? No, it's not.